Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of seven discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. Man, nothing will feel the same. We have never experienced in our years of being on tour. We have been on tour. Essentially, we've been on tour for about 6 years now. Yep. Except
that's
for the
a
one.
Long one.
You're really good. Yep. Except for the one long year that we did nothing, right? But I still count that as being on tour because I felt stressed.
And you were doing a lot of planking.
I was.
Yep.
But in Philly, being backstage, so we're getting up. It was about 10 minutes before we got to do the show.
Ooh.
All of a sudden, when all of the power went out in the building, we're like, oh, this is fun. This is going to kick right back on. And then we sat there and nothing happened. And we went through the snow. I ruined my Jordans because I forgot.
What a casualty.
That was big for me.
Well, there are people as well dying, but let's focus on your J's.
When it comes down to it, those people should have transformed into snowmen, but it's difficult for them. It's difficult.
It is difficult. Philly was beautiful, though.
It wasn't. I slipped in the street. I re-hurt my plantar fasciitis. I mean, it's great. Philly is great, but it is not beautiful. It was covered in liquid shit all day because they don't plow
it's
anything.
Snow.
Nothing was plowed. It was just, but they didn't even try, they didn't even attempt to get rid of the
snow. No, they didn't want to plow, but why would you want to plow when the snow comes, the Lord giveth, good times and sledding?
It turns into frigid diarrhea immediately.
Yep.
And I was covered in it, ruined my jeans, my shoes, all fucking bullshit. We get backstage. Finally, we're so excited. We fucking traveled across the fucking country. We're here to go. We're doing this despite the snowstorm. Everybody else had dug themselves out of their own fucking houses. It was incredible. We're here. The vibe was feeling
great vibes.
And then the power goes out, and then you look out the window and it's the entire fucking block. And it's just, they see the panic in everyone's eyes because they didn't know what to do because everyone's like, the audience is going to rip apart the stage. That is
everyone
literally what
was
they thought.
Wonderful. Everyone they was great.
They were so awesome. But the management was like, these animals are going to start ripping out chairs and attacking each other with them. And we're like, no, this is not Ben Salem. This isn't in a Golden Corral. Our audience is fucking, these are forthright members of society that just like to drink a lot. You know?
Absolutely. So we want to thank everyone who came out to Philadelphia.
For nothing.
It wasn't for nothing because technically they got a show within the show, which is a memory they'll never forget. We had to go on stage and say, sorry, everyone, show can't happen. Please don't kill each other. And we were lit by what is the modern version of candlelight, the iPhone. And it was kind of cool.
It felt like a social media version of the movie Barry Lyndon.
Oh, isn't that exciting? I haven't seen that one in a while. So we can't wait. We will be back inside of you, Philadelphia, very soon. And
of
course, Richmond and DC, you all were just beautiful. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with the newly lit Henry Zebrowski. Thank God, because I'll tell you one thing. Being in a green room with Marcus and Henry, that's pitch black, can't see anything.
No.
It is scary because you never know what's going to happen.
You don't know who's going to flip out.
Who's flipping out? When are they flipping out? Everyone takes turns flipping out. Also, we were five stories up, which means we had to walk five stories down. And that was hard to do, wasn't it?
You were out of breath going down the stairs, which I haven't seen in a minute. But I'm also really proud of you because you did get down there.
And I
you
did.
Didn't fall. You didn't roll. We didn't need to carry you on a sled.
No, but it was our 9/11 moment, wasn't it?
It was our 9/11. We were just very, I think because we were just about to walk into the elevator that was supposed to take us down. And then we were all waxing philosophic about the idea of like, imagine if it had happened about 2 minutes later, we would have been in the elevator going down and then we would have been stuck in the elevator. And then, but Marcus then is like, cause he brings his emergency ration of Xanax with him wherever he goes. So he says like, we would just all just sit there like fucking logs. We would just eat a couple of Xanny bars.
I was not aware that Marcus at all times has Xanax with him. Yes. It's a great move,
but it really is good
to know. All right, everyone. Well, let's get into the first tale this week. We have a small update regarding glitter. Now,
Do we?
Well, you wanted to talk about this because you wanted to clear the air about glitter, the celebratory tradition that people have. Maybe it's a wedding, a birthday, the death of a child. I don't know why people use
glitter.
Always
throw glitter at an abortion.
Whatever
I think it's
it
really
is.
Important. Throw it at the pussy. But I...
Well, I don't know.
I did not know. I said before last week, I was like, you can't get hurt from glitter. Right. And then the audience, whom I love, they emailed sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com to let me know that I was, in fact, very wrong. And some of these stories are absolutely fucked. So here's
glitter can be very dangerous, it turns out. Did not know that. I also think if you get like immensely hurt by glitter, you kind of did something wrong with it.
You wouldn't have made it in WW2.
No, because glitter is just like, I'm here. I'm here to represent good times. I'm here to represent sparkles. Do you win an NFC championship game? Glitter. AFC championship? You're going to find me. Glitter. But then somehow people have managed to get themselves hurt from it.
So this woman, there was a woman who lost her eye. Someone sent an article about this. But here's a letter from a listener that, I mean, this is also awful. My hatred of glitter starts in high school and it's continued in adulthood. Fast forward many years and my job is working with teenagers and they found out I hate glitter. So they planned to get me. So one night after an event, they hatched their plan. They decided to take a huge ass tub of fucking glitter and throw it on me. They were supposed to hit my back and chest with it. Well, guess the fuck what happened? It hit my fucking face. Huh. All the fucking glitter in all my fucking eyes. The glitter felt like glass and it was extreme pain. Went to the ER, and guess how I did not know how you have to get glitter out of your eyes.
Well, you have to have a party, maybe a disco ball, something?
Well, they pry open your eyes, they hold your eyes open, they dump water all up the inside of your eyeballs, they then stick a cotton swab with lidocaine straight into your eyes, and then the doctor comes poking you in the eye with many things. He got x-rays, he got cuts all over the inside of his eyes, and then he had to cover his eyeballs with this, like, the super glue or whatever in order for it to fix this, like, antibiotic super glue, and he said it was really, really bad, he almost lost the eye, and then, but there's a worse story than that.
Okay, well, what happened with the kids who threw the glitter? I guess it was just
executed.
They were
euthanized.
Well, it was an innocent thing, and of course, when you're a teacher, never let the students know any
ever
of
have
your
control.
Phobias.
No fears. No phobias. Don't let them know your fears.
As a matter of fact, if they say what's one of your fears, say something that's not one of your fears, and then you show up, and then there's a big horse in the room, and you're like, see, I love horses. So I'm not scared of horses. Then you thought I was going to react, but I actually love horses, and that's actually my horse.
And but this is a worse story.
Okay.
So this is from a stage version of Rocky Horror Picture Show. When we were performing the show, I only had one costume change, from the glittery shorts to the finale costume. So to help define my shape, I would cover myself in oil and glitter to show the muscle outlines. The glitter was made from powdered glass.
So that means
though.
He must have been playing the muscle hunk character.
Rocky, yes.
Yes.
So basically on the Friday night show, I got glitter where it shouldn't go. He got it all over the inside of his dick and balls. It got inside of his panties, little tiny panties.
Well, how'd it get in there?
Right? Because he said they didn't realize that when they washed it all together, glitter got all up inside of everyone's clothes and inside of his tightly fitting little like boy shorts that he used to show how big his fucking dick is, right?
We're just talking about glitter here, right? I didn't know it had such a legacy of deception and hate and pain and total and pure chaos. I never thought this is the most I have ever thought about glitter.
Yes. So, thing is, basically, on the Friday night show, I got glitter where it shouldn't go, and it sliced up the end of my penis. Huh. I woke on the Saturday in the most pain I've ever had in their life because he was uncircumcised. And so the glitter worked its way inside of his fucking foreskin and ground a hole into the top of his penis.
And yeah. So,
but this
You're not supposed to have two holes on there. You got one hole. Just one hole. That's all. It's good.
But he said, we were meant to start the show at 10:30. By 8:30, there was one member of the audience already there. And apparently, this is true. Mick Jagger was there to see the show.
What?
And we had to tell him that the show was canceled because Rocky had something wrong with his fucking dick and balls. Mick's reply was, well, haven't we all?
Mick Jagger, one of the single most amazing 83-year-old pound elderly men that's ever lived.
When he is the most powerful grandmother next to Steven Tyler.
I don't know. I don't want to push back on the fan, obviously, that he was in an immense amount of pain. Isn't there an understudy? Isn't there a baby Rocky?
I don't know. Who has that kind of body? Who's not eating carbs? You only deal what you do.
I mean, the understudy
kind of
is not
going on.
You can paint it. Paint the abs on him and stuff. Like, it's still the understudy, but like everyone will understand. That's not the OG Rocky.
Yeah. Of course. Because you're gonna get the notice in your playbook.
But I just wonder if the show should have gone on. I mean, the WWE, they continue their shows going even after live death. So.
Oh yeah,
I don't know.
I did a sketch show on 9/11. That's not true. I wish though. I would have done it. To be brave.
Well, we actually did do a performance on 9/11. Not 2001, but there was a 9/11 show that we did.
Oh, yes. That was in the UK when they had the chip. They had the story.
That was in the front UK page. And in America. Maybe you weren't there that night. I remember that when they talked about the potato chip and didn't mention 9/11.
9/11
All right,
one time.
Speaking of mention, Henry mentioned this earlier. Ben Salem. Now, this is a town. And you know this town is doing good. It's in Pennsylvania. We love you, Pennsylvania. And it has a Golden Corral.
Pennsylvania, you contractually have to have a Golden Corral, I believe, every 20 miles.
Absolutely, as it should be. And I hate meaningless legislation, but that would actually be good. There was a massive fight that took place at a Golden Corral. And we can only describe this as what happens when you're getting low on chicken tendies.
I don't know what happened.
Because usually when there's this much food around, Henry, it's
people
peace.
Are happy. Yeah,
people are happy.
And they like it. But I don't know what happened. A 40-person melee 40 broke open. 40 people. And I want to watch a little bit of the video so we can also hear a reaction. You can hear a little bit of the sound of the fervor of this fight. Fernando, if you go up to about 2 minutes in, you really get into the fighting here. You got to hear this. This is ape shit.
So for those wondering, are these people hammered? Are they sober? The whole thing took place at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, yes.
So some people were having early dinner. Some people were having late lunch. Maybe that crossover effect had a lot to do with the fact that people then began throwing chairs, high chairs and tables.
Watch this. But actually, bump it back about 30 seconds.
Let's give this a listen. And I think even though it's audio, I think you'll be able to really get the chaos and the weight of it all.
Yeah. Now, this was taken down because they thought that it promoted violence. But actually, it does kind of hype me up because I want to start screaming, world star. But
yeah,
it is fun.
But I understand
it's bad to promote mass fights at the Golden Corral.
I think Golden Corral can handle it. All right, let's do it.
Woo!
So the lights are shaking.
Wow, the chandeliers are going. That man is throwing a table at a nana.
Yes, and
Holy shit. The
essential worker that is the waitress is trying to keep peace. I'm going to tell you, she's going above and beyond at this point. I'm leaving.
Can I say that there is truly nothing essential about being a waitstaff at a buffet?
You can say that if you wanted to be immensely rude.
I don't mean to be. Oh, now look at this guy coming out with the walker.
Everyone is old.
They're all old. This is literally a mass fight between 40 to 50-year-olds.
They're
begging that one guy to stop.
And it looks as if another guy is looting some merch. Well, fantastic?
They came from some kind of Eagles function.
This might be sports-related, although I don't think so. Again, 4:30 in the afternoon doesn't look like...
That guy has never played a sport in his life, but he is somehow the size of an offensive lineman.
That is a big
man.
It's the Golden Corral, of course. I don't see any of the buffet food.
No, and it was in the side room.
I'm looking at what we're seeing here, and I think this is not food-related. I think this was an argument that occurred over dinner. Maybe it was a mask thing, maybe a mandate thing, maybe a vax thing, maybe a sports thing. Who knows? The list can go on. But this looks to be not food-related. As a matter of fact, it seems to me as if they're already full.
They look pretty bloated. Yeah, they look pretty bloated.
I think this is a post-food fight.
Wow, that's incredible.
All right.
Watch
the video if you can. It's at Melee at Ben Salem Golden Corral. It's just there on YouTube. It's fucking chaos, dude.
What would you do? I would have fleed, number one. I would have just ran out of there. Or
unless
you're
in the fight. But what,
yeah.
I mean, at some point you're going to get beamed with the baby chair, and now it's your responsibility as an American. You got to hit somebody else with something.
Also, how did this not, of all of the opportunities... I've only been in one genuine food fight.
There's no food.
But at the cafeteria, I remember it was in high school, a food fight started. It was probably one of my most free moments of my life.
What did you throw? What was the thing that you threw?
I threw a little thing of milk.
Oh, that's a grenade ripped open the by top. A food stuff. Oh, my God, dude.
Ripped you open the top of it and just, blah, just
scorched
like
earth. Now, may I ask, and this is actually true talk, chocolate milk or traditional 2% milk?
Normal white.
Okay, because the chocolate will, because I had that. I had a chocolate milk in my locker for a couple of months, and I got to say, that smell does not come out.
No, I drank the chocolate milk because chocolate milk is one of my favorite substances on the face of the planet.
Fantastic. Good idea.
But why did they not go to the start? Why did this not become a food fight? They had an opportunity. You could pick up how fun. You see that one woman in the big hat, and she was like, stop now, stop. How fun would that be to pick up the fucking prime rib and throw it at her head?
I think it was about distance. I don't think they had the opportunity.
They were not distanced.
They were distanced from the buffet. And in some ways, they were distanced from each other as well.
You wouldn't go run into the other room and fill up a plate full of mac and cheese and then just start fucking catapulting
at
people?
It's the definition of bringing a ham steak to a knife fight because
they're throwing chairs.
And all you're going to throw a potato?
No,
it's like you can't, it wasn't a food fight. It was a tables, ladders, and chairs match.
I'm just saying, if I'm not a directly part of the fight, if I don't have skin in the game, and I'm just trying to be the Joker that day, it's fun to just start and add food to the mix, because then they'll start fighting with the food. You actually probably could save lives, because you'd show them all how much more fun, innocent, and safe it is to fight with the food than the tables.
You make a good point. Two people were injured. Someone was covered in a bunch of blood.
Oh, yes.
This is according to the Courier Times, Bucks County. The Bucks County Courier Times, which are really, they're all over this story. They've been on this story from the ground since the beginning. They are taking this extremely seriously, and they're going to keep us updated if there's any deaths or anything like that. We don't think so.
Oh, yes. No, we don't think so.
I think it's just a fun 4:30 Sunday.
I guess so.
In Pennsylvania.
But this next story, most of these stories come from Pennsylvania this week. And it wasn't because we were just there. I don't know what is going on in that state this weekend. Maybe it's the snow. People went insane. But this next story is actually very fucking serious. And it is, they are saying they might have the situation wrapped up, but we don't know yet.
It's a freaking horror movie. This story rings true. I mean, this is the beginning of...
of a horror film, of a zombie film.
So many scary movies.
So a truck carrying 100 monkeys that were infected with herpes 2 collided with the dump truck. This is Friday afternoon along Route 54, just off of Interstate 80. This is near Danville. And a bunch of monkeys went missing
up into the forest areas.
And it's really not good because I guess we were talking with Fernando before the show that herpes 2 is actually fine for the monkeys to have, but you can get it if they bite you or scratch you. And it is very bad for us. We get like brain damage.
If you kiss a monkey?
Yeah. You fucking have it eat your pussy, and you know it's going to end up using teeth because there's a no. So according to the CDC, the monkeys, they were supposed to go to the CDC-approved quarantine facility. They were from Mauritius, a country in Eastern Africa.
Can we just pump the brakes on animal experimentation with a bunch of new, kind of diseases and virus? Can we just pump the brakes for just give us a, just stop? If you're going to transport them, just make sure that the truck driver knows what he's doing.
But they went, my thing is, why don't they label it CDC? Like, you should label the truck. The truck should be labeled CDC, and it should have like a thing in front of it and back of it. Like, you know, like when people transport houses or whatever.
Wide load.
Like there should, I mean, this is not even a bit. I really feel that they should be kind of have some kind of escort
or like probably.
Something that, especially if they're filled with animals, uncontrollable animals filled with infectious disease.
100 biological weapons just hanging out and not having fun.
Oh, no. It's really fucked up. So these monkeys are loose. They had to kill all of the monkeys that were there. They had to, quote unquote, humanely euthanize them, shoot them in the head.
I don't know. You still killed them all, but.
Now, this is the thing. I love this. Now, this comes from Howie Lurch from Valley Township. Little monkeys, we got bears, we got coyotes, we had deer, you know all the time. A little 3-pound monkey doesn't scare me, but why are they so concerned about it is what concerns me. So he's saying the government's all, because they hit out a mass thing saying there are 3 monkeys sitting somewhere in the forest of Pennsylvania right now that can get you very, very sick.
One has his hands on his eyes, one has his hands on his ears, and one has his hands on his mouth.
But the thing about they're pretty sure is that the cold is going to kill them overnight.
That's just,
Isn't that comforting?
That is great.
This comes from Michelle Fallon of Danville. She saw the entire incident. She jumped into action. She helped the drivers and the loads they were carrying. So I walk up on the hill and this guy tells me, oh, he's hauling cats. And I said, oh, so I go over and I look at the crate and there's this green cloth over it and I peel it back. I stick my finger in there and I go, kitty, kitty. And it pops his head up. It's a monkey.
No, what are you doing?
I don't
know. You've never seen monkey shine or anything. What is wrong with people?
And they're already saying that they found the woman who came upon that crash. That woman is already sick. She had up close encounter with the monkey. She's got, she said that she has cold like symptoms. She has a runny nose, cough, pink eye.
Jesus. It's not good. No, it's not. And apparently she said before sticking her finger in there, she said, hey, kitty, kitty.
Kitty, kitty, kitty.
Kitty, kitty. Even if it was a kitty. What is this? Stop. Don't put your random finger in a random crevice.
Why is there not a massive CDC stenciled on the side of that box? Why is CDC
Maybe they're worried people will freak out. People would freak out, and then if someone wanted to use the monkeys for nefarious reasons.
Like what? Steal for fleshlights?
I don't know, buddy.
What are we going to do with them? They're diseased. They're fine. They're like, they don't show signs of illness because it doesn't fuck with them.
I mean, if you had a series of monkeys, you would like find, you know, let them loose places.
I mean, it would be fun.
It's because then you see all the chaos, and then you're like, that's
chaos.
Great.
That's fun. It's the funnest kind of chaos, too, because it's monkeys everywhere, and then you're half delighted, half scared, and that's the best part. That's like an amusement park.
Yeah, the CDC did send a letter out, and they did say there were some surviving monkeys, and they are going to be quarantined, and they're going to be monitored for infectious diseases for at least 31 days before their release. And I don't know why any of this is happening.
I don't know.
Isn't that great? All right.
I feel like these CDC trucks need more presence on the road. I don't fucking understand.
Well,
I wonder,
I'm sure that they have some reason because maybe they were worried about terrorism or something. But yeah, let us know. I want to know.
Honestly, if the terrorists want to blow up that herpes monkeys truck, that's fine, I guess, because it's a bunch of poor monkeys that all have the love bug and they can't fucking, they don't even know that they have it. They don't know that they have it. They're like a bunch of DJs from 2005 fucking New York City.
Yeah, well, indeed. Running around in the woods with no place to go.
No place to go.
Live from your grave.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about 2 literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. No matter what kind of work you do, how you communicate is key. All those emails, reports, and presentations are equally important to the collaboration needed to get things done. And Grammarly can help. Grammarly is your AI writing partner to help you communicate more effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact at work. And isn't that what matters most? Better writing means a stronger impact. Grammarly works across 500,000 apps and websites. You can't escape it. Like the ever-pervasive octopus of malice that is the NSA. Grammarly is watching your every move, making sure that you're doing it right. Data privacy and security are woven into the foundation of Grammarly, into the very essence of its nature. Grammarly is a secure AI writing partner, and it helps your team make their point and move faster, because that's the key there. Work smarter, not harder. Yes, Grammarly. You know how many times it saves me from writing a long, rambling, one-sentence email at 4 o'clock in the morning to my beloved employees? Makes me sound like someone who doesn't just have a BA in theater. All right, I was taught how to be a tree. I was not taught how to survive as an adult. All right, my job was to cry in front of a weird Southern man who just told me all sorts of weird stuff about my body. I didn't learn how to write. So thank you, Grammarly, because you're making me the boss I gotta be to motivate my team to get out there. And, oh, man, you don't want to mess with them. Thanks, Grammarly. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said. Done.
Speaking of love bugs, Henry, you love shoes, don't you?
I'm an advocate of shoes. Oh, I think, shoes should be worn more often. And I think that on a plane,
always,
it's absolutely disgusting when you reveal your feet in any way, shape, or form.
I have very little, I try not to be one of those, that's really out of line. I've had feet on the back of the seat, no shoes. It's nasty.
Feels disgusting.
Anyway, so there was this dude in a Brampton Foot Locker, and he was working there, and maybe he was bored, or maybe, again, he really loved the shoes.
I mean, I love shoes. I get boned up for some shoes. You should see these new Bronze I got. I love them. I got hard for him.
The Bronzies are an unbelievably comfortable shoe, but this man took it to another level. He had video evidence of him ejaculating in the shoes and performing, quote, messy sex acts with the shoes. And I don't know why they put the term messy in there. I guess it just really nails home how disgusting the whole thing is. So he's on Snapchat. And
so he filmed himself doing it.
It seems as if he filmed himself doing this. Yes, there's video now deleted Instagram account. He uploaded several videos and photos showing one man exhibiting questionable and in some instances
straight up disgusting. That's editorializing.
That is.
All right. And I want the blog TO for saying, shame on you for saying that.
I don't know. It sounds like it could have been pretty disgusting. So the man was doing some weird stuff with some shoes, and then I guess he'd come in them, and then he would just go and watch people try them on, and I guess that's what got him off.
Well, his name is Darian Kidd. We're just going to go ahead and give out his name. This was the video that he said. This is the transcript of the video. What's up, Snapchat? You're back on another episode of Naked D-Fly in the Workplace. Oh, yeah. So as you can see, we're at Foot Locker here, and there's nobody else here, only my shit. And I'm fully, completely, 100% sexy and naked. Oh. And then he pans down and proves the whole naked thing. And then on the video, shared by the aforementioned Instagram account, it stopped short. But that's when he just started coming in the shoes. He started jerking off on top of the shoes.
That was the thing that really got him going there. So obviously there are some apologies going around the Foot Locker. They say that they had failed to meet customers' expectations. And you know what? You went above and beyond in that failure because that wasn't even on my list of expectations. I didn't think I had to worry about all the shoes being covered in cum. But now I know that. And I'm going to say every Foot Locker I walk into, and as you know, my expectation that none of these shoes have come in them. And
always
then we'll see
start
how they
like
react.
That. Yeah, and because if you see one guy blush, you know.
Sir, what shoes did you fuck? Sir, what shoes did you fuck?
I'm wearing them. Squish, 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 squish.
Oh, well, you won't fall over, I'll tell you that much.
It's been a really long time since I bought shoes in a shoe store. It's been a minute. And this is not going to make me like...
Well, your
rush
size
back.
Is always sold out, and my size is never available because they never ordered size 14. But then you're a basic size. Yeah. But according to Peel Regional Police, they have not, I don't know what they're going, if they have not charged him yet, and maybe they're looking into him. A spokesperson of Foot Locker says, Foot Locker is committed to operating with the highest ethical standards. And it's this type of behavior, and this type of behavior is not tolerated.
Coming from somebody dressed as a referee. Because it's so important for them to hold the rules sacred.
Am I wrong in saying, it seems like Foot Locker is like, yeah, all right, another day. Will we just talk about how, we didn't have customer expectations in mind? It's like, does this happen a lot? Is there a whole underground ejaculation game happening at the Foot Lockers?
Well, you remember, we covered another shoecomer story last year. It was in New Zealand. So this is him following, maybe continuing in that man's legacy. Because, you know, this is about the violation. This is not really about him being, he doesn't think that the shoes are sexy. It's about knowing that someone is going to unknowingly stick their foot into this and get cum all over their feet. And he loves that idea.
Well,
it's
he
about
also
setting a little landmine.
Do you know how many freaking comments this dude got? 75,000 comments.
He did it for the fucking likes, bro. He did it for the clout, dude.
Jeez. I mean, so he like got what he wanted, I guess. And I don't know what he is going to go on to do, but big things. Well, big things indeed.
I don't know.
Right. Well, be very careful. And if a shoe is too snug, make sure. Check out for cum.
No, you don't.
What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go like your producer for that MTV show Room Raiders, which hasn't been on the air for 10 years, and go with a black light. How is a customer?
If I went
now
into
that
a
I
store.
Know that employees
but you know, if I went into a
cum,
store.
What do you do? What do you do?
If I went to a store. And asked and stuck my foot in it and it was wet, I would come back out and be like, these are now my shoes. I'm going to take these shoes for free. Oh, yes. I'm going to go clean them. I'm going to go bring them to a hospital to clean them. But these are now my shoes. You are now paying. I'm now paying. I'm going to have these shoes.
Wow. What an interesting approach to that. I would have.
Yes.
I would have said, like, give me some money or give me a different pair of shoes.
I'm here for shoes.
All right. Well,
and then you have the story. Then you have the story. And then honestly, maybe it's kind of nice because with my plan of ascites kicking my ass recently, especially because I reignited it falling down the fucking snow in Philly, I now have a straight up. It's maybe nice to have the cushioning. Yes.
I didn't know that.
I slid.
I fell down the last time, so.
Yes. But you were hammered. I was in the middle of the fucking day.
But then you got to toboggan, mate.
That was fun.
Lesson Doreen, if you have a chance to go to Philly, what a wonderful little place for the neighborhood.
It was a really, really fun bar. Lloyd's, we had a good time in Fishtown.
Oh, yes. And Lloyd, of course. Do you want to do this?
Town.
I know.
I want to tell the story about the Pennsylvania Chupacabra.
Okay, great. Let's do that. Let's do the We'll stick in Pennsylvania. Wow.
This story, I mean, we're saying Chupacabra, but it's because it's what a Chupacabra is. It's an unidentified style of dog. Now, if you look at this dog, he's cute. But he's fucking mysterious, and I don't know what the hell happened. So one Pennsylvania's Fairfield Township, she said that she found these animal tracks. Who are these bored-ass women? Like, honestly,
she
went to go follow animal tracks. What are you, fucking nice. Pocahontas' cousin?
That's fun, Henry. That's called being out in nature. And then as opposed to now everyone's looking for Pokemon.
Whoa.
These people are organic. They're looking for cryptids.
True. So he thought that she was looking for a neighbor's dog. She found this mysterious animal, and it was shivering, and it was scared, and then she managed to lure the animal out, and it got into her basement. The thing is, they look at this thing, and they're like, we don't know what the fuck this animal it is.
Hmm.
They think it's a dog, but they legitimately don't fucking know. They're running blood tests on it to figure out what the hell it was. She said it was exhibiting scared behavior. So whatever it was kind of innocent. And when they got inside, they warmed the creature up and they looked at it. All right. Cause she looked at it. She said she thought it might be a coyote or a dog. They called the wildlife works, they went look at it. And they're like, this is not a goddamn dog. But they think that maybe it could carry rabies, whatever it was. So now it's kind of sitting there while it's waiting to get genetically tested. But look at the picture of it, Kissel.
I see it, man. It is a creepy ass looking thing.
It's kind of cute though. It's got cute eyes. I think it's probably a dog. They say that it's definitely got signs of mange.
The Chupacabra is a pretty cute cryptid. Yeah, I'm thinking it's a dog, and it probably needs to be loved, and it's cute.
It's so cute, and honestly,
or maybe it could hang out. It could hang out with the monkeys.
No, it shouldn't hang out with the monkeys. It'll get sick. Like it's got to be careful.
I don't know
what'll happen to it. But if you look at it, But this is what
he's
we know. Every
cute.
Every Chupacabra on mainland the United States of America is for certain a dog with mange. The only thing where it gets wiggity is the Puerto Rican Chupacabra, which we covered probably a couple hundred episodes ago. Little bit more weird, a little bit more like somewhere between a dog and a lizard. But this thing, like whatever you're looking at it, it might need a home. So I'm wondering, and I would straight up, if I was in the Pennsylvania area and there was a Chupacabra, like let's just go ahead and call it a Chupacabra, even for branding purposes, just to get the word out that someone needs to come and take care of this Chupacabra because, you know, that's technically an endangered species.
Well, one of the most endangered of all time. It's a cryptid. It's possible. It doesn't even exist at all. And what's more endangered than that? But the thing with the Chupacabra, it doesn't want to be a house pet. So I think that would actually be a massive disservice. Why would a Chupacabra? Chupacabra likes to, they're like Michael Myers. They just like to kind of wander around aimlessly.
No, they should do that thing where you show a picture of the Chupacabra and it's like, if you're cold, they're cold. Bring them inside. Because the Chupacabra is a warm weather animal, if it is anything. If it is indeed, they do like hot temperatures. Like, we need to bring him inside. And then I would name him Sucker.
Oh, Sucker the Chupacabra. Why Sucker?
I don't know. It's cute.
I don't know, but I kind of like it.
And you have him come inside the house and you can pet him and you can, and then you get to be the master of cryptids.
So if you're in Pennsylvania right now, it's possible you got a random monkey in your backyard or a Chupacabra. So
it's cute.
Anyway, and be careful when you go.
But the monkey will fucking give you AIDS light. So you don't go anywhere near it.
Well, speaking of dangerous things, I just want to cover this briefly because we don't talk about cartels. But this one, did you see this video, Henry?
Which one? Oh, God. Yes. You sent me this fucking shit.
This guy, he had a beef. He had a beef, right?
I had a beef. But it was a Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah.
Come on.
But he's a cartel assassin. And there was another gang member that he had to fight with. And then he filmed himself killing the dude, and then he cut his heart out, and then he took bites of it in front of the camera, and there's a full video. And anyway, it's so you can check that out.
Fucking wild.
It's bad.
Honestly, you know, because what is interesting is the the idea of that's an ancient practice. That has been around for thousands of years. The idea you kill your enemy, you consume their heart, you literally gain their spirit, their energy.
I would say if I kill, I'd be like, I'm going to kill you and eat your heart. But like after I kill you, I'd be like, oh, I'm not going to feed you your fucking heart. It's disgusting because this guy, he's like it's a buffet. He's over the body of the victim that he just killed and it's all fresh. I don't know. I feel like
it's a snuff film is what we watched and what you sent me was a snuff film. I did watch it though. But you know, have you ever done that with hunting? I know people that when they go hunting and they kill something like a deer, the first thing they do is eat the heart. They take it out, they cut a chunk of it off, and they eat it because again, it's like
I've heard of it.
Have you ever had chicken hearts? Chicken hearts are tasty. Like heart meat is actually very tasty if it's cooked well, but it is very irony. It kind of tastes like blood because it's all chock full of it. But the idea of like, maybe this distances me from other people, but if you do eat a chunk of a human heart, I wonder if you do get physically stronger. Like you get more powerful. You get more like, maybe it helps you. Do you think it would help me with auditions?
I think it would.
If I showed them what I would do, fucking Mr. Bumper, the guy from down the street, he sometimes he's mysterious, you know what I mean? But he could be he's the next neighborhood over math teacher. I don't fucking know.
Well, I think it would definitely scare a lot of casting directors into giving you the part.
Maybe that's what I need. Maybe that's the fucking missing acting, and maybe that's the X factor I need to do to fucking relaunch my sitcom career.
Yep, maybe you just have to do what this man did, which is create a very deep cavity inside of the torso and then take a large fixed blade knife and then start removing body parts. And then there's a shadow of a person swinging around to dismember a corpse off camera. And that can be seen on the left side of the screen. So he was with friends and they were I'm going to go eat the heart over here. And the other guy was like, I'm going to go dismember this body over there. And what a night it must have been. So
seriously,
be careful out there and try to keep your heart out of the tummies of members of the cartel.
Well, can I give a bit of advice?
Sure.
Don't take the cartel's money and
don't
then
do anything
don't pay
with it
back. And don't do things like buy like drugs, like in large quantities. Be distanced from them. You know what I mean? Like try to find a lot of people in between you and the cartels.
Please. Honestly, be very careful. All right. And then
we got a good UFO story. I was watching this footage. A bunch of people sent me footage of these two black helicopters, quote unquote, escorting this orb. But the thing is that it is cool. But if you rewatch it, you can definitely see that the quote unquote orb is a helicopter with a spotlight on. And it's catching a thing because you can see the spotlight on the ground as it's going. So it looks like it's glowing. It looks awesome, but it's not. But there was another fantastic story. This is another one from the war zone, talking a lot about military technology. There's an Air Force pilot flying a private plane with his passenger who filmed this drone. You can see next to it this drone tracking them where this looks like this weird blip. So the war zone, now that I've really been following news stories that come out of it, they've really been tracking the idea that a lot of the stuff we're seeing with the quote-unquote soft disclosure is unknown military technology and stuff that we don't know what it is yet, maybe foreign stuff. But this is really fucking weird because this aircraft pilot, you can listen to the entire 8-minute phone call that he made to the FAA. And what they're going over the sighting. And he said that this thing, whatever it was, clocked him and stayed with him going 80 knots. And he was like, I don't know how it did it. He said it was like in lockstep with him as he rose and tried to lose it. It was following him. And as he was watching it, his passenger took video of it. You could barely really see it. It's just like you see this object fly right past them. But he said it like locked onto him. And he said what was fucking weird about it is that it looked like it did have rotors. Like it looked like it had, there was a mechanical aspect to it. But he said what was weird was that it was a sphere, which is a thing we haven't really seen, that had these rotors attached to it. And he said what the only way he could describe it is that it looked like it had a camera thing attached to the bottom of it that was, he said that it looked like it was trying to get a really cool video of him flying, but it was very, very dangerous.
Is this just like Steven Spielberg's production company trying to get a shot for the new, Bottom Gun movie?
Oh, James Cameron's desperate to try to figure out how to get people to see that fucking awful, whatever the nine sequels to, what was that movie? I forgot, the biggest movie in the world?
Titanic?
No, the one where they go into the planet, they go into the...
James Cameron, all I know about James Cameron is he loves the water, and he went does. In that little tube,
Avatar.
And that was very scary.
Avatar.
Oh, Avatar, like, but that
but
was
he's
just,
got like nine, yeah. He's got like five sequels that he's been shooting for like Avatar came out. Yeah, man. We're about to die thinking about it. We got an extended universe we did not ask for. The people just wanted
this
movie.
That movie was kind of panned.
It was the movie. It was because it broke all these barriers technology-wise. Like, it did all these new, like, 3D things. Because I remember watching it, but it gave me a fucking headache. But these, now we're going to get three more of them. Congrats, everybody.
Great.
Maybe it's him. But what this Air Force pilot is saying is that he did not know what the fuck it was. He's like, I've not seen anything like this before. My whole life is flying. I see stuff in the sky every day. Nothing like this. So, but he is saying... They joked about him calling it a UFO because he's like, literally, this is a UFO. He says that on the thing. He's like, I can't identify it. But he's trying to say this is mechanical. I don't know what the fuck this is. So maybe we are now starting to enter the true, like maybe it's been going on for about 10 years and more of it will come out where the uncanny valley of these things that look like UFOs, but maybe are not. I mean, maybe they're specifically designed to look slightly mysterious so that you don't think that it's from China or Russia and doing these various things or our secret ops programs that we're going to be talking about all week that are literally going that do shit without our government knowledge all the time. But drones are not supposed to fly above 400 feet, or you're supposed to get a notice. If it's from the U.S. government, you're supposed to be notified that they're flying through these areas. So that's the thing. Like, unless it's a part of like a super top secret, like MK, like level thing, like that no one else knows about. But to be honest, they try not to fuck with the pilots, I don't think, because that causes massive like crashes and people
dying.
It
could be very dangerous. Yeah, they're saying it's possible it was a 00 robotics V Captor Falcon, because they use a bike captor tilt rotor design.
But it said it had an antenna on it that he's never recognized, and it's not on that technology.
Well, it seems like you can really dress up a drone, huh? So who knows? Well,
I don't know.
Either way, real exciting stuff.
We remember
indeed.
We did the flying humanoid dude they tried to debunk, which I haven't allowed. I'm still bunking. I still think it's interesting, but they're putting that off. They've got,
well,
you know,
they said they caught him, didn't they?
No, they never. Well, they said that they did, and then that fell off. And now they're saying that they thought it was a Jack Skellington balloon with a drone attached to it.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
But that also, then I followed up on that, and that fell off. So who knows?
I didn't
who fucking
know
knows?
I'll take a Jack Skellington balloon.
Live from your grave.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It says here I have to talk about something I need to get off my chest, and I guess I can share it here. I eat mayonnaise for fun. It's a hobby of mine, and it's an addiction. And it's a daily weight on my life. How much I need whipped egg whites and oil crammed into my veins as soon as I wake up. And a lot of people carry around a lot of different stressors, big and small. Some people are presidents. Some people are soldiers. Some people have to eat mayonnaise, especially with hard-boiled eggs, which is what I eat for lunch. But I guess I should share that in therapy, because therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And what I do is I just add eggs if I have mayonnaise left over. I just continue to add the eggs. But if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I hope they can help me. My God. I hope they can help me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/lastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lastpod.
Hey! Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. That's one of my favorite things about it. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Now, personally, I'm in the middle of re-landscaping my yard. I like to do it myself because I called up a landscaper to see how much it costs, and it was absolutely insane. Plus, I love dirt. I love getting my hands in the dirt, and I love planting things myself. And Fast Growing Trees has given me some wonderful plants that I can use. Like, I got this Texas sage. It's purple. I've dug up a whole bunch of horrible bushes and shrubs up in front of my window and in front of my house and put some purple Texas sage up there, and it's going to thrive, and it's going to look real good. And I didn't even have to go to a nursery to buy it. It came to my house. Now, this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code LEFT at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code LEFT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code LEFT. Offers valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list. With Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors. It's a waste. Don't waste hours on apps. Besides appetizers, that's the kind of apps I like. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Did you know that empanada is already Spanish? I didn't. Thanks, Babbel. Did you know that burrito is already Spanish? Wow! I just gotta learn all the rest. And eventually, I'm gonna be eating downtown Mexico. Thanks, Babbel. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/left. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/left, spelled babbel.com/left. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Well, speaking of undiscovered, we don't know who this dude was yet, and so we never covered him. I never really heard about this guy, but apparently there's a possibly new victim, a sixth victim, from in San Francisco. In the 1970s, there was a serial killer, and he was nicknamed the Doodler, and he would kill a bunch of gay men, and it's really sad, but the cops never figured out who he was, and they still have $100,000, and they raised it up to a $200,000 reward for any information leading to the apprehension and conviction of a serial killer dubbed the Doodler. So I haven't heard that much about this person. Feel free to email us if you know about the Doodler. It looks like all of the assaults happened in the 70s. So at this point, he's probably like dead, right? But who knows?
By this point, he might be dead. Who knows?
Who knows? But either way, it's just kind of interesting because we had never heard of that serial killer before. And I think the Doodler, I don't know. Like, if you're a serial killer, you can't give yourself your own nickname. And this man made a mistake, evidently. One of the victims, he told he was going to art school. And then that victim survived. And then the guy said he was going to go to art school or was an art school dropout. And then the press was like, we'll call him the Doodler.
Seriously, I feel like he's a doodler, huh? Or it's like, yeah, it sounds way more Canadian than American. Because, like, I would never call a man that told me that he draws a doodler. Because that seems insulting. I guess to a serial killer, yeah, fuck him. But, like, normally you say an artist or an illustrator. Something that makes him feel good about doing
it. Yeah, one of the victims told police he met his attacker at a truck stop diner. That's pretty classic. Be careful out there at the truck stops.
Seriously.
And the person said the suspect was drawing animal figures on a napkin, and the suspect commented to the victim that he was attending art school and was studying to be a cartoonist, and the victim believed the suspect to be skillful in drawing as he himself had a background in art. So isn't that nice? The Doodler still on the lam. Let's catch the Doodler.
If we could catch a Doodler, honestly, just don't let a man draw your picture alone with you while you're at a coffee shop or anything. He's trying to invade. He's trying to figure out how to murder you.
Yep. Police said the suspect they interviewed in January of 1976 was a strong suspect, but I guess they just didn't arrest him. And
weird.
The same person interviewed by police in 1976 is still the focus of their investigation in 2022.
And he's just hanging around being like, yes. Waiting for you. Meanwhile, like his now his art has gotten so good. He's doing local. He's doing murals and graphic design. Now he's built this incredible like yeah. portfolio. And he's just been like, doodler, huh? Every single time, you know, he's just getting better, getting oils. He started getting like doing like all that weird shit. Remember the guy? What's the guy? Chuck Close.
Oh,
where you'd
yes.
put all the little dots and you walk away and you see this like beautiful tapestry and shit. So maybe yeah. it's actually the best thing for him. And maybe he's got some skills that really allows him to be a productive member of society.
But like at some point, if someone is the lead suspect in a series of murders since 1976 to 2022, you got to shit or get off the pot. Is he or not? Because
just,
what is going on?
Just try to arrest him. I think at this point, just arrest him.
What's going on? Like apparently, according to... San Francisco Chronicle reporter Kevin Fagan, he says the doodler hunted in gay bars, took them out and killed them actually for being gay. Oh, so apparently.
Oh, no, he's just.
Yeah. Who knows? But there's a podcast about it. So check it out because I never heard of the doodler before. And it's sad again, especially in the 70s. This is a massively marginalized group. Gay men. And people probably said, well, they had it coming or this, that, and the other.
All the garbage care. That they used to not figure out that all police departments need to communicate with each other in all levels of investigation. That's kind of, you know, again. You
yeah,
know,
it didn't get apparently, yeah, it didn't get any media attention whatsoever. At that point, they still had sodomy laws on the books. You could still bust guys for being gay, essentially. Society
yeah.
was not ready. So, yeah, underground. Very sad. So, anyway. If you know any information about the doodler, please let us know because it's rare to hear. I don't know. Sometimes most times I hear about a serial killer, I'm like, yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, that one, yeah, of course. Yeah. No, but man, I can't believe dude butt stuff was fucking against the rules.
Can you believe that, dude? Can you
like,
fucking believe
it's
that?
It's your butthole. Don't you just want to fucking, sometimes you just see a butt and like, you mean tell me George Washington never saw a succulent butt on a Revolutionary War compatriot
no,
of his.
No, he did. That's
and
why.
And then, like, they were out there in the muck all day. There's no women there. Oh, they had to figure
kissed.
Out a way to fucking go at it. Yeah, of course they kissed.
They all kissed. Yeah,
like, no, with his wooden teeth.
That which is a myth.
Whatever.
But
fucking
anyway.
Whatever. I'm sick of everything being debunked.
It is a good reminder that you give these people power and they're going to try to take your butthole away from you.
They
Don't
will.
Let them have it.
Okay. I think it's time for Hero of the Week.
Hero of the Week.
All right, let's do Hero of the Week. It's the people of Philadelphia who came out to the show that didn't happen. No, I'm just joking, but you guys are hip Philadelphia.
It's good pandering, though.
Well.
You're good pandering, but yeah, we really wanted to do that show. I was really excited.
I was excited. We'll be back. Okay. So this week's Hero of the Week is Goldie. Goldie is a puffer fish, and Goldie went to the dentist.
Oh, so it's another man. It's another thing that can't choose anything.
I went to
like
the dentist.
Like, can't choose.
It went to the fish dentist.
There are fish dentists?
Well, for Goldie, Goldie has a... Look at that grill. Look at the grill on Goldie.
That's frightening.
She went to the dentist, and which is heroic, because I haven't gone to the dentist in 20 years.
Oh, yeah, this pufferfish went to a dentist before you did.
Yeah. And also, the dentist isn't a hero, because if the pufferfish didn't need to have its teeth sawed in half, then why would the dentist even be there? So a pufferfish was recently rushed to an animal dentist to have their teeth sawed in half after they grew so long it was unable to eat. Isn't that something?
I think now, it's the dentist is the hero. It can't be because he didn't even choose to go to the dentist.
If the
pufferfish figured out a way to shape coral that says dentist, like if they figured that out, I'd say yes. First of all, that pufferfish is a fucking hero and also needs to be shot in the head because it's learned how to talk. It's learned how to talk, and it's bad for us. It's bad news for Americans.
Goldie's a porcupine pufferfish, and she has an owner, Mark Byatt. And Mark noticed, wow, Goldie is losing a bunch of weight. And that was because of her big teeth. So he said, oh, my God.
You could tell if a fish is skinny?
Yes. I don't know. So he said, oh, no. And then he rushed the 5-year-old fish to the vet. They sedated the fish by filling her water bowl with a mild anesthesia.
How did we get here? Wait a second. So he took it to the dentist. How much did this cost? I want to know how much this fucking costs. I mean, thousands of dollars, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's. I'm looking at video or photos of the surgery now.
Why did its fit? Why did its teeth naturally get too long? What does it do in nature? In nature, there's no natural dentist. You know what, they don't have insurance in the ocean.
We don't know that, do we? But I bet you it eats rock. I bet you it gnaws on a rock or something.
Why didn't he give it a rock? You mean tell me that he didn't tell the dude, hey, you should give it for something. You should give something to the pufferfish so they can gnaw on.
The innocence in the eyes and the beautiful smile of this pufferfish would warm even the coldest of hearts. This is according to vet Daniel Calvo Carrasco. He says porcupine pufferfish teeth are known as beaks and grow continuously throughout their lives. They're usually quite short as they're worn down on a regular diet of hard-shelled foods. But while these foods are provided in her home environment, she is not as forthcoming in eating them as her other tank mates.
Well, yeah. Oh, so she gave up. So they know that so the pufferfish is trying to commit fucking suicide or have some kind of hunger strike.
No, the pufferfish
maybe it was trying
is...
to get off of Spotify or something. So she's doing this fucking hunger strike. I don't really understand. Like, why does she? Why?
Well, okay. So Goldie was bought right by this person. They were bought in a large watertight container containing water from her home tank, and a licensed fish anesthetic was placed into the water until she achieved a light plane of anesthesia.
God, I'm
and then
so
at this
stupid.
Point, to support her further, the water was oxygenated.
This is a waste of resources.
This meant that she was still breathing nicely throughout, but was also be held for brief periods of time out of the water without becoming stressed. So, because you want to take care of Goldie the pufferfish, you see. So anyway, Goldie the pufferfish with the teeth that are too big. You're hero of the week because you know what you did? You put people to work. She's created jobs.
Oh, you know what? Okay, you brought it right back around. Yep, it's trickle down.
Yep, Debbie was
This is
able,
about trickle down.
According to the veterinary nurse, Debbie Addison, she held Goldie and then she could see the puffer. She saw the puffer fish inflate to twice her size. And then Daniel said, Debbie was able to hold Goldie in a damp towel to prevent her from becoming too dry. Will also ensuring she was protected if she did trigger her defense mechanism.
You know this thing's gonna die next week. You know it's gonna die very soon.
I would love to hear Goldie's tale of what can only be perceived as massive sexual assault. I have no idea. Goldie doesn't know what this is. An alien abduction.
Yes.
And Goldie doesn't know it. But anyway, she's been placed in a large container. She's doing great. And so I know a lot of people were worried about her. I know this made main news. I know this was on CNN. I know it was a big story. So Goldie is now back home in her home tank in Leyburn, England. So there you go.
Oh, yeah. This sounds very English.
Yeah, with bad teeth and everything. Even the fish. That's kind of a stereotype. The British have improved their teeth immensely, but
they haven't. They really have. I'm sorry, Kissel. You're wrong. They really haven't.
It's gotten better.
We
just still, the only thing I care about right now coming from across the pond is Ken Prince, Andrew Sweat. And I want to see a drop of sweat come from that man's brow. All right.
We were talking about it in Philly. We got to get him on Hot Ones.
The greatest, that would be the 10 questions, the man from Hot Ones, Prince Andrew. He fucking sweat, dude.
Sweat. Awesome. Hit him with the da bomb.
Oh.
Yeah, he'd be fucked.
Which I had da bomb on the live stream. And
it's not just good.
It's not good, no, but it's strong.
Oh, here we go. I'm going to do one listener email for today.
Okay.
Now, this is a story about my grandmother's friend. Mary and her husband were running out of time from their current lease, rushing to find a new place. They had their hopes on buying a house and were looking constantly, but every time Mary saw a house, she was left feeling dissatisfied. Mary couldn't settle on anything because each night she would have extremely vivid dreams about a house that was everything that she had ever wanted. Each night she would dream about a new room in that same dream house, and each morning she would excitedly tell Joe, her husband, about the discovery she had made while sleeping.
Oh, man.
This is one of those where you're like, right, Mary. Like every single time she says this, you're like, does it have a fucking bowling alley, Mary?
Like,
you know,
the dream house is it's like dream money. You know,
I feel
real money is real.
She might have fallen asleep while House Hunters was on in the background.
Oh,
right. But after a week or two of this, Joe is growing annoyed and demanded we need to choose a house this weekend. All right?
Because
we're dealing with this fucking... We're going to have to sign another fucking lease.
Ultimatum. Okay.
Oh, yes. So Mary begrudgingly, she's rode along that weekend to a house showing that Joe had found. When on their way, she screamed, "Stop the car!" Screeching to a stop, Mary leaped out of the car and ran towards a house they had just passed. Joe parked the car and ran after her, calling her back to him, asking, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Right.
Mary was excited and happily repeating, "This is it. This is the house." All while Joe is trying to get her to leave this stranger's property.
Okay.
Mary opened the front door and was greeted by a beautiful foyer that looked exactly like the house from my dreams. Joe was urging her to leave, saying that this house wasn't even listed for sale. They were literally breaking in and entering, but Mary just went further inside. The woman walked in on them and said, "Hello, are you guys, are you guys here for the showing?" The couple was shocked, but went along with it. The realtor saying, "We just listed the property this morning. I'm happy to see somebody already looking." Mary mentioned showing Joe the view from the bedroom and quickly made her way through the house, leaving the realtor to ask if she had been there before. "Sort of," Joe said.
Whoa.
Now, at the end of the tour, they put in a bid that was way under asking price. Joe really didn't believe that they would get the house. But to their surprise, the homeowner accepted the offer. Joe was blown away and asked how, with such a low ball offer. The realtor said that the homeowner was eager to sell and she was instructed to take the first bid. It was at this moment that the homeowner herself walked in, and the realtor introduced them as the couple that just bought your house. The homeowner saw Mary and immediately looked like she was going to faint. "It's you!
What?
You're the ghost that's been haunting my house."
Oh my God, that's so scary.
This is fucking weird. She said apparently this story has gone through, they've been telling the story for years. And it's really, it's very strange. So they're saying that, like, which sounds really interesting, that Mary fucking like astral projected
sleep ghost
like into the fucking house, which is kind of what we talked about with Nessie, the idea of the idea of the Loch Ness Monster being the ghost of a dinosaur.
So that is
that,
like,
type of thing.
So it's, like, if you're just poltergeist in your house right now, just be like, the house is not for sale. I just want to remind all ghosts, house is not for sale.
It's not for sale. Yeah.
Is it for sale now? Has that ghost just been like, okay?
And that story wilds me out. I fucking love
that
shit.
That gave me chills, dude.
That's fucking sweet.
Every time she was dreaming, she was really there.
She really was.
That's scary.
Yeah,
cool.
Fucking cool.
It was very
cool.
Who
knows? Who knows? I love all that kind of shit. With like the weird valley, the way down to the grays of reality.
It's scary stuff. One of the only fun things about growing up super religious, hearing the stories that they say angels, but they were ghosts.
They were aliens.
Or aliens,
or were they
whatever.
Molested? Or was they just getting their dick sucked while they're 9 years old? We'll find out.
Right.
You remember that old chestnut. And speaking of old chestnuts, you hear that sound? The crying bird of freedom.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Welcome to Stitcher, everyone. We've been here this whole time. Did you not realize? We're here. We're on Stitcher. We're everywhere. We're freer than we've ever been. It was like we astral projected ourselves back out onto the internet.
Absolutely. Well, we truly did in many ways, so we can't wait. We're so happy to be on all of your platforms. Wherever you listen, you can hear us now and all the shows, so... Hopefully this makes it easier. And for those that didn't come on our journey to Spotify with us over these past 2 years,
welcome back.
And it's great to have you with us. And you have a shitload of listening to do.
Get to it, please. Catch up. But again, we want to thank the people over at Stitcher. We want to thank our whole fucking badass group of fucking employees here that went out there and made shit happen.
They're wonderful.
They work so hard to get all the episodes up and running.
Not easy.
Wow. And we're here, man. We got a fucking bunch of years left. We ain't going fucking anywhere. Suck my fucking dick, all my enemies trying to fucking attack.
Come for me,
you best not fucking miss, right? Because I live for the day the army of haters show up at the fucking golden gates of my fucking compound, right? And I love that day because I'm going to drop a tub of oral, hot ass oral, on all these fucking assholes.
Ooh,
and they scream stuff like, in. "You work for the CIA." And I'm going to be like, "Yeah, I do. How about that? Yeah, I am a member of the fucking CIA. We're going to talk about this next week too, man. You fucking assholes. Next month and a half, we're going to be talking about the CIA. I'm going to be all over you.
I can't wait.
I'm going to find out and I'm going to laugh. knowing for a fact that it's really nice that when I retire from the CAA, I'm going to have incredible benefits.
Isn't that great? There's the worst sentence you could ever have your haters say to you is, "Who are you?" Because that,
oh, yeah,
because
that's how they got you. That's how they got you.
Because oftentimes, don't forget, you might be stewing over someone. Don't give your energy to them. Don't give your energy to them.
The real story is that no one is ever thinking of you ever. And that every single time you thought that you said something super awkward at a party or like said something weird on a phone message or a Zoom call and you're hyper thinking about it, like they thought about it every second of their day that you said something weird, nobody cares about you. They only care about themselves.
Absolutely, which is actually very comforting.
It
is. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you're doing well out there. We will talk to you really soon.
Yeah, we will.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations, everybody.
See you soon, fuckers.
Who are you?
It's me, Kissel. You don't remember?
I can't wait. I can't wait for Alzheimer's. No, never mind. I'll remember you.
You might not like Alzheimer's.
I don't know.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I don't know.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
Imagine you're at an exclusive party. Across the crowded room, you spot the most stunning man. You spit take your champagne. He keeps approaching, and then he says,
"Your tanning session is now complete."
What just happened? You found your escape at Palm Beach Tan. Break from the chaos at a Palm Beach Tan near you and leave rejuvenated. Take time for yourself at Palm Beach Tan and take that feeling with you wherever you go. Get up to $25 off your first month. Featuring Australian Gold. Hot guy not included.
I was shocked, you know. They were always such a good team. So successful. But to do something like that? To exceed their budget?
While being over budget might not be a crime, it can disrupt workflows. With Monday.com, you and the team can be sure that you're all in sync. All the data, latest updates, files, and budgets are visible to everyone, so you won't miss a thing. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.